Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Tonight we are actually beginning, you are here, significantly, on the first night of our new study. We're moving on. Tonight we're going to study one of Jacob's sons. We're going to begin our study on Joseph tonight. Now I want to begin by telling you I'm just going to be setting a foundation tonight. And tonight, interestingly enough, I want to share with you the similarities, because Joseph is a type of Christ, a type and shadow of Jesus Christ. Their names actually both mean the same. Joseph, Yeshua, Jesus means God saves, God of my salvation. So as we begin, I'm just going to go through some of the few similarities. I will tell you there are many more. There's about 35, but I'm going to go through some tonight. Both were firstborn, number one. Number two, both were shepherds. Genesis 37:2 says, these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wife, and Joseph brought to his father their evil report, and that's going to be super significant tonight. But Joseph was a shepherd. We know that Jesus is our good shepherd. That's a similarity. Both were loved and favored by their fathers, Joseph, by Jacob, Israel. And by the way, I'm going to do a study very soon, just a quick little study, that although his name was changed to Israel, they are interchangeable. Jewish rabbis would call him Joseph, Jacob Israel, not Joseph, Jacob Israel. So, and we'll talk about the significance of those names. Both were loved by their fathers. Joseph's brothers were jealous of him and did not believe in his dreams and did not honor him. Jesus' brothers did not have respect and honor for him. It was prophesied that Joseph would rule over his brothers. It was prophesied that Jesus would rule all. Joseph was sent by his father to his brothers. Jesus was sent by his father to us. Both were stripped of his coats. Joseph by his brothers, Jesus by the Roman soldiers. Both of their coats were dipped in blood. Genesis 37:31 tells that Joseph's coat was dipped in animal's blood. Animal's blood cannot save us. Revelation 19:13 talks about the coat of Jesus. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. Both were sold by one of 12. Judah was the one who led the sale of Joseph, and Judas was the one who betrayed Jesus, and he was sold. By the way, Joseph was sold for 20 pieces of silver, which is the price of a young slave, an underage slave, and Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver, which was the price of an adult male slave, both the price of slaves. Reuben wanted to rescue Joseph, but he did not have the courage to stand up. Pilate wanted to rescue Jesus. He did not have the courage to stand up. Joseph was sold as a slave into Egypt, and Jesus was betrayed, and the price paid for him was the price of a slave. Both were falsely accused, both Joseph and also Jesus. Both were with two others condemned to die. In Joseph's case, one was a baker and one was a butler. One was executed and condemned, and one was set free. In the same case of Jesus, two criminals, and one went to be with Jesus in paradise, and the other was condemned. The brothers all bowed before Jesus. The Word of God tells us that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord. The king of Egypt declared and appointed Joseph to be the sole provider of life at that time. God has appointed to be Jesus, has appointed Jesus. He should be our sole provider. Joseph was 30 years old when he began working for Pharaoh. Jesus was 30 years old when he began his ministry. Joseph's brothers did not recognize him. Jesus' own people did not recognize nor honor him. Joseph was revealed to his brothers at their second coming. Jesus will be revealed to Israel at his second coming. Joseph offered his brothers the gift of forgiveness after they transgressed him. Jesus offers us forgiveness after we have transgressed him. The evil Joseph's brothers meant against him, God meant for good to save the lives of people. The same is true of Jesus. He is our Savior. While Jesus was the only individual who ever walked the earth that was sinless, Joseph is one of the few people significantly written about in the Word of God of whom no sin was mentioned. That does not mean he was sinless. So tonight we're going to begin our study, and I am going to read from the Word of God. I'm going to read from chapter 37, just for a few short moments. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah, and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made an ornate robe for him. Actually, it was a coat of many colors. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him. They could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose," that's wheat, "rose up and stood upright while your wheat gathered around mine, circled around mine, and bowed to it." His brothers then said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Do you intend?" He's only telling them a dream. "Will you actually rule us?" He's only telling them a dream. And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. I titled this message tonight, "Here Comes That Dreamer." Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, this is the second dream. "I had another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father, as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father meditated the matter, and he kept it in mind. And we're going to stop there, and I'm going to talk to you for a few minutes. God gave Joseph two dreams. I do not control what I dream. Neither do you. But Joseph told his family. Now, there are many commentators that would say that, and I know that you don't brag about things to evil people, but I want to tell you that it was God's divine plan for him to tell these dreams. And I want to tell you there was also nothing wrong with him telling these dreams. He told his brothers, and eventually he told his fathers. It was God's plan that he tell them the dream, and let me explain it. First and foremost, they were part of the dream, remember? The dream was actually about them, and they knew it. They seemed to know it. So they, if you're part of a dream, you kind of deserve to know the dream. Second, they would all live to see this dream come to pass. They would never have believed him if years later, after these things all transpired, Joseph had said, "Oh yeah, I dreamed about that when I was a kid. Years ago, when I was 17, I dreamed about this. I just never told you." They would never have believed that this event was orchestrated by God. They needed to be told the dream when the dream happened. Joseph was excited about the dream, and I believe that's what motivated him to tell the dream, and God, by his Holy Spirit, allowed him to tell the dream. But I want to say something to you and I tonight. We have dreams in our heart, and sometimes the dreams are big, and sometimes we don't understand the dreams. But if you believe God has given you a dream, I don't really think you should be silent. I think that it's okay, especially if it's a good dream, if it feels right to you. It's good to give voice to your dreams. And then when they come to pass, others know that God has given you the dream. I remember telling my brother that I had a prophetic word. And you know what? It's a good thing when you tell it and then it comes to pass, right? Because then no one can say, oh, you just said that. You know, yeah, I thought that too. No, 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 no. Because here's the thing. We speak what we speak. Our words have power. And to speak what God has put in our heart, there's nothing wrong with that. God gives dreams to young and old alike. He can use young and old. He used Mary as a teenager. He used Daniel as a teen. He used John at 90 years old on Patmos. He wrote a bestseller that you and I read today called Revelation. And we see that not everyone is going to rejoice that God has given you dreams. You just try and tell all your friends that you're excited about. You know, I see it even with the revival going on, people that get excited about the revival. There's so many people that are very quick to shoot it down. If you tell somebody, God told me that someday he's going to use me and I'm going to speak over here, or I'm going to sing at this big, you know, God put this in my heart. And you just watch your friends and other people that don't understand and that are like the brothers, let's call it what it is, jealousy or envious, they're not going to be so excited for you. So everyone's not going to celebrate your dreams, and such is the case tonight. And but when Joseph told them that this dream, the father eventually rebuked Joseph, but he pondered it. He knew there was something there because the Bible said, but he meditated. He took the matter into consideration. And so Joseph, you know, Jacob should have known, because Jacob had dreams. Am I right? Dreams. Let's talk about the ladder and the angels descending from heaven. But my thought that, and I mentioned this before last week, that was, instead of Jacob rebuking Joseph, he should have been correcting and rebuking, holding himself in check, and also rebuking his sons possibly, and saying, listen, guys, what if this is of God? He's not making this up. He's now had two dreams and said they seem so similar. And here, let me give you my personal thought. If Millie comes to me and tells me she had a dream, you know, I'm going to get angry over a dream. If there's nothing to the dream, dear brothers, why are you so angry? Why does it stir something in your spirit if you don't even believe in it? You know, but they had to know, and the father especially, you know, he had a check in his spirit. We see that. And so Joseph, he was a person who was both loved and hated, loved by God, but hated by the brothers. And most of us could say the exact same thing. But usually the reason that someone is hated has to do with envy or jealousy, doesn't it? And sometimes it actually has to do with God, not what you've done wrong, but what you've done right. It has to do with God's favor on your life. It has to do with you being blessed. I can remember that someone years and years ago, this is going back many years, testified about something. They had paid off their house or they'd done something significant. And one of the other people were very like, oh, that, you know, why did you have to say that? You know what? You can't rejoice over someone's blessing and victory, then you're jealous or you're envious. And in chapter 37, it says that Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was a son of his old age, and he made him this beautiful coat of many colors. When the brothers saw their father loved him, or the word is favored him, more than all his brothers, they hated him, and they didn't even want to speak peaceably to him. They couldn't even speak to him. Now, here's something you need to understand. It's not Joseph's fault that he's loved by his dad, is it? And I want to tell you, I understand Jacob. Come on, be in his place. We're only human. He had Joseph when he was 91 years old. He had to be thrilled to have this son, Rachel's first son. Can't you give him a break? And think about it. Rachel could not conceive. Now she has a son. Now Jacob has a son. And, of course, later another one. This is God. And, of course, he was thrilled. I don't give these brothers really much of a pass on their envy and their jealousy. They could have just easily rejoiced and loved the younger brother also. Is there not why don't you? You know, I know of a story where there was four brothers in a family, and then years later, there came a little girl. They all loved this little girl, and the parents just especially did. What is so wrong with that? As long as you love them also. But there was already jealousy, and I'm going to explain this, within this family setting. And it appears, as we read on, that Jacob was having trouble already with the older boys, and I'm going to explain that to you. When he sent Joseph, he eventually sends Joseph to look for them. He tells them they are supposed to be with the sheep in Shechem. Let me tell you something. They're not where they're supposed to be. And I'll say it like I always say it. If you're not where you're supposed to be, you're where you're not supposed to be. And if you're where you're not supposed to be, you're definitely not where you're supposed to be. So they were not where they were supposed to be. And the father sends Joseph after them. But I want to tell you that we can conclude tonight that Joseph was hated without cause. Just like Jesus, Joseph is a type of Christ, Jesus was hated without cause. All he did was good. That's all he did. But Jacob did love Joseph. And the next lesson we learn in life is people are not always fair, but God is always fair, and God is always in control. And Joseph was doing the will of the father when he was looking for his brothers. He was obedient. They were disobedient. He was obeying the father. They were not obeying the father. They were not where they were supposed to be. So you have to make this clear distinction. And they did plot to kill him and take his coat of many colors and throw him in the pit. Now, I do want to say that, remember Isaac and Rebecca, a lot of times we pass things on for generations. Traits, characteristics, even sin can be passed on. The parents, Isaac and Rebecca, each had a favorite son. I want to say, right? Remember that? Rebecca favored Jacob, and Isaac favored Esau. Jacob, we fast forward to Jacob, their son, he had a favorite wife, didn't he? Remember? Why are we going with all the favorites? So this is something that really should not be done. So this is something that they passed on. It's not Joseph's fault, but Jacob should not have had favorites. Not a favorite wife, not a favorite son. But this is what happened anyway. We're imperfect people. God only has imperfect people. Can he use imperfect people? Yes, it's the only kind he has. Can he use people that have committed sin? Yes, he can. It's the only kind he has. It's that old song, God's still working on me. I ain't what I used to be, you know, but he's still working on me. And I mentioned last week that there's no way out of a pit unless you get lifted out, unless Jesus lifts us out. And it is just so amazing. So I'm going to read Genesis 37:24. And they took him and they cast him into a pit. This is the brothers. This was their decision. They cast him into a pit. He came looking for them. They didn't like it. He found them. He got a guy to tell him, you know, kind of, hey, they went this way, that way. He went looking. He found them. He did his job. They were not doing theirs. Who knows what they were doing? The Bible is silent on that. Cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes, and they looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead, with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said to his brothers, what profit is it if we slay our brother to conceal his blood? Now, I want to tell you something about that Genesis 37:24. Is there something in there that should probably not be in there that is so odd to you? I looked at it. They took him, they cast him in a pit. Now, I picture myself, I get a group of people, I've got this person, and I hate this person, and we're going to cast him in a pit, and it was empty, and there's no water in there. He can't get any water. And then it says, and they sat down to eat bread. They had a picnic. Basically, they had a picnic. I have now cast you. You're over here in the pit. You don't have water. You don't have anything. I hate you that bad, but now it is time for my picnic. It's time for all of us to sit together. We put Debbie in the pit, but the rest of us, we're going downstairs for church dinner. Debbie's in the pit. You know, what is wrong with this? This tells us the complete character of these brothers. This explains everything, who they are. It tells us how much they hated him, how jealous they were of Joseph. And so they had thrown him in the pit, and they had their picnic lunch, and this is just pure hatred. But then there becomes a discussion that they, you know, it's easier to throw someone in a pit than kill them, okay? So they have this discussion that if we kill them, there's no money in it. So suddenly he becomes a cash cow to them. Let's sell him. By the way, that's another thing we don't do is sell people. And people are not things. And so they sell him for 20 pieces of silver, a price of a male used slave. And here's where Reuben comes in. He felt sorry, and he knew they shouldn't be doing this. And he had such an opportunity. You know, and that's something we need to know, that when everyone's wanting to do the wrong thing, everyone's wanting to hurt someone or do a little something to someone, where is the person that's going to stand up? Where, Reuben, where were you, Reuben? Where were you? Why did you keep silent? And he's the oldest, by the way, too. He's not fit to be a leader. He refused to stand up, even though he felt sorry and, you know, would have liked that this was not happening, but he just did not have courage whatsoever. And he thought maybe he could get him out of the pit later, but that's definitely not going to happen. When Joseph arrives in Egypt, he's going to be resold to a man named Potiphar, who's an officer of Pharaoh's, who was captain of the guard. Now, interestingly, we have no record in the Bible whatsoever of Joseph, anything that he said when he was being thrown in the pit, anything he said during the time that they were discussing him. He was there, remember? He's there. He's being thrown in the pit. There's no Bible record. The Bible is completely silent. Did he cry? Did he call for his father, like we see on television a lot of times? Call for his mother, call for his father. Did he make any? No. You know what that reminds me of? Another thing, a type of Christ. Jesus opened not his mouth. He did not cry. He did not stop it from happening. And so we see so many things here. There's no record of him complaining. There's no record of him reacting improperly to these difficult and horrific circumstances, the same as Christ. But we know that the favor of God was with Joseph. The favor of the father. Now, remember, he was favored by his earthly father, so much so that he received the colored coat and all the brothers knew about it. When we're favored by God, do you know that people recognize that in our life? They recognize that we have the favor of God, and there is recognition with that also. And, you know, they knew that. They saw that. The jealousy was there. Instead of getting behind that, they knew it. But he didn't say anything. And can you be going through terrible times and still have the favor of God in your life? Yes. Yes, you can. Because that favor goes with you. Even if you go into captivity, and you see it so many times, you see it in the life of Joseph, you also see it in the life of Daniel. During Daniel's lifetime, when he spoke before four kings, and he served under four kings, four rulers. And not everyone is going to love you because God loves you and because God is with you. But I can go through anything if I know that the Lord is with me, the Lord is on my side, and I would bet, you know, I know that Joseph's situation was bad, but I kept thinking to myself, you know what? Joseph needed to get away from them brothers. Sometimes your pit is a pit of protection. You know, we don't like it, do we? We don't want to hear that. But there are times when our pit is a pit of protection, that God has allowed us to be dumped in the pit because those brothers might have down the road very well killed him. You know they were talking about it. They probably had talked about it even before this, to be quite honest. That's how bad they hated him. But sometimes that pit is a pit of protection. The same thing when he got into the prison. Sometimes that prison is first of all, the pit was a protection from the brothers. I believe that God allowed that and he used it as his protection. And then for him to get sold, to get him out of the picture before they kill him. Now, when he went to the prison, we're going to talk about that in lessons ahead, when he was in the prison, that was also protection because he was in Potiphar's house and he was safer in the prison than he was in Potiphar's house because the odds are the temptation was on, and it was on, and it was on, and it was on, and it was on, and he was 17 years old, and this is the boss's wife, and it just kept coming at him, and he needed to get out of there. And so he fled. He did it himself, but it was God who caused him to do that. He could not control what she did, but when he got in the prison, he was sent not to the regular prison where they, and by the way, the regular prison back in them days was the prison where they sent people that were condemned, that were condemned. You went to the regular prison because you, they just haven't set your execution date yet. The king's prison was different. This is like us going to a elite prison for the politicians go to now. I don't know a better way to say it. You know, where all of your governors in Illinois went to go to. All five of them went to the prison. Isn't it five of them that went to the prison? Yeah, that's where our governors go, to the king's prison. Illinois governors. But you're treated better in the king's prison. You get food. But Joseph had favor even there, and even that was his protection. Because if he had ever succumbed to that temptation of Potiphar's wife, he's going to the other prison, and he's the execution date's going to get set then. So Joseph, the protection of God was on him, even in adverse situations, and sometimes we just don't get that in our own lives. Sometimes we just don't get that. Joseph was being blessed by God, and you know, we can go through things if we know that God is with us. And Joseph lived a life of honor and integrity. He was really among a few, Samuel and Daniel and Joseph and Mary. Joseph here and Mary, the mother of Christ, there's not many we see that really lived throughout their lives from the time they were a youth that pretty much have a spotless record, okay? And Joseph is one of these. And the reason it's important is because it's easy to live a life of honor during the good seasons of life. It's a little harder to be honorable in the pit when your brothers are having the picnic. It's a little harder when you're in a prison because you've been falsely accused. I can go to prison, and I can do okay in prison if I did something. But if I didn't do anything, that's a little harder to handle. And then you have to live with integrity and even honor those people. But I see that Joseph even ministered in the prison. But I'm going to read Genesis 39 and 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him. Now he's being resold. I'm sold once, now I'm sold twice. How many of you have ever been sold out twice in your life? Bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down there. And the Lord was with him. You got to hear this. If you don't hear anything else, here he is being sold out a second time and into Egypt, into captivity. And here it is. And it said, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was, remember I said, if you got the favor of God on your life, there's no way people can't notice that. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. His master saw the Lord was with him. People see that God is with you. And Joseph found grace and favor in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. Do you know the enemy cannot stop God from promoting you? He cannot stop God from using you in the most adverse of situations. His master gives him this responsibility. Now, mind you, he's a foreigner. He's a slave that he just purchased. And all of a sudden, he is literally the head of the household, and he's given all the responsibility of the household. That is literally the favor of God. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Since you live here, since you're here, I'm going to bless everybody. How many of you have heard that song, bless me, bless me, bless me, Lord, indeed. Bless me until I'm the conversation of all my enemies. Bless me, bless me, bless me. Let all these folks that's with me be blessed. I literally love that Maverick City song. So all these folks that's with me can have the song says, can have everything they need. the blessing that God puts on us and the favor is not just for us. It's not so we can hoard it. It's not so we can be selfish with the favor of God. It's not so we can be selfish with the blessings of God. If God has blessed you, it's so you can be a blessing. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all he had in the house and in the field. His crops were blessed because of that. Jacob, the same thing happened. Remember, I just told you with Laban. Laban came to him running after him, and he said, please don't leave. What's it going to take to get you to stay here? Because the Lord has blessed me because of you. Because of you, I'm blessed. And the world does see it and know it. And Pharaoh knew that God was, Potiphar knew that God was with Joseph. He's seen it, and that's why he gave him the responsibility of his household. That means Joseph had passed the test of finances and responsibility, and he was faithful over the affairs of someone. It wasn't even his stuff, and he took care of it. Now, he's going to have to face the test of morality. That's when the wife comes in, and Potiphar's wife, and she was pursuing him. And here's what I have to say about that. You may not be looking for trouble. Trouble's looking for you. You may not be, hey, I'm going over to the bar, and I'm going to go do this and that. But the devil is looking for you. And so Joseph was young and single, and he was seduced, but he stood against it. He was a strong, he had made that determination. But sometimes God gives us dreams. I want to say this because there's so much more in this story. Sometimes God will give dreams, or he'll put desires in our heart, or he may even give us a talent or a gift of some kind. But that doesn't mean that we use those gifts. Sometimes it takes 20, 30 years, because in the process, God gives us the dream as a way of giving us a hope. He gives us a hope and a future, but he has to develop our character. And it seems to me that the only way that our character is developed is when it's tested and when it's tried and when we pass the test. And God has to allow that before he can use us in the fullness in the way that he needs to use us. I just think that there is so much more to this story. And I have so many, many, many notes. We're going to continue on next week. But I think this is an excellent foundation to know that he had a lot stacked against him, didn't he? But he had the favor of the Father. He had the love of the Father. He had the favor of the Father. Those brothers should have got behind that. If I see that God has blessed Debbie and he's using her, I said yesterday, I had posted something that God can use anyone he wants without consulting you. It don't matter. You don't have to like them. God can still use them. And you don't need to come against it. It doesn't matter, because God wants to use each and every one of us. And how sad for those brothers. But here's the thing. In the end of the story, and I know we're not even close to the end of the story, we see the true heart of Jesus, and we see the true heart of Joseph. When he finally has that opportunity to get back, and instead he decides to bless them, bless them, bless them. And really, that's Christ to us. We're going to ask our music team to come. This is a good stopping place for tonight, that we've set a very, very good foundation. I'm going to briefly, as they're coming, share something that was on my heart. I shared it with the night service last night. It was just so amazing here last night. It was just so amazing here last night. I'm writing out the story for many people that I shared my story, the dress story, the perfume story. Janice, I'm going to give you copies of that. Anybody who wants a copy of the story and the meaning behind the story, what God did in my life, I will make that available to you. But one of the things that was troubling me concerning, we've talked about the revival thing, and I believe that God is moving all over our nation. I can feel it sometimes just in my office when I'm studying in there, especially at nighttime. It can be 3-4 o'clock in the morning, and I can just feel the presence of God so strong. But someone had said to me, and they didn't mean anything bad by it, but they were confused about it, about the revival. And one of the things I shared last night, it troubled me. They had made the remark to me that God probably isn't going to send revival to our church. And I said, what do you think? And that individual said to me, and there's someone very, very kind and gentle and loving, and said, because, you know, how can God do this? How can God bless this? This person does this, and that person does that, and there's sin here, and there's sin there. And there, and you know, and how, and I understand. I said yesterday, I understand why God would visit Asbury, because it's a Christian college, and they love God, and they're seeking God. And I understand why God would visit Lee College. I completely understand that. I get that too. And my spirit was so just kind of crushed. And, you know, and I understand that even the disciples, they were gathered in one accord, and that we need to be in one accord, and that we need to do our very best to have our lives right and to get rid of. Last night I preached on not coming out of Egypt, but getting the Egypt out of me. But this is what I heard from the Holy Spirit. When I was told that there couldn't be revival here likely because God's just not, he wouldn't be interested in visiting us because there may be sin in the camp. And I started praying the other night in the middle of the night. And I said to God these words. I said, God, I understand. I understand why you sent revival to Asbury. And that's great, God. But can I say something to you? There's nobody, no church on this earth that could use revival more than ours. Do we deserve it, God? No. Have we done everything right? No. But God, won't you visit us? We're still your people. Maybe we're disobedient. Maybe we've made wrong choices and decisions, but you love every one of us. Wouldn't you just visit us? And last night, as we were here, I could feel like the Holy Spirit was walking through this place and he was sitting in these chairs with us. He was here. My God has not forsaken us. He comes where he's invited. I don't have to be perfect for the Holy Spirit to come to me. He will make what's wrong right. He will visit here in Jesus' name. He is invited here to this little corner. Can be an outreach. If we just keep our hearts right, if we just get Egypt out of us, you know, there's always an opportunity for people to come against you. Ignore it. Pay no attention to it. God loves you, and I believe that he's going to send revival to us. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.